They said that scientists from the US and other places have been to Algamonga to try and figure out if there's something in the soil where their crops are so huge, and they've concluded that they don't know why. They don't know why the produces are so large, but we know why. You know, it's a blessing of God, it's an intervention of God in that nation. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you are a God of the impossible. Lord, we as humans, we tend to put you in boxes, but Father, you just specialize in breaking out of those boxes and surprising us and causing us to stand back with awe and wonder, because you are indeed God. And so this morning, oh God, we ask you to continue to expand our understanding of who you are. Father, lift the veil from off our eyes and cause faith to arise inside of us again. Cause us to again rise above where we are at and to believe you for more, to believe you for transformation, to believe you for change, to believe you, God, for intervention in our lives and in our circumstances, intervention in our community, intervention in our families. Father, we ask you, God, that through your word, that Lord, your spirit would speak to us as your word comes forth, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. And amen. So I've been sharing on exploring the blessings of God, an era which I think we underestimate, we think we know a little bit, but then we get turned off because of the prosperity type preachers. And we fail to grasp the very nature of our God. Last week we shared about the power of a blessing, and that God's default response is really to bless. That when he made creation in Genesis 1, he said that everything was good. But he did not just stop and say, well, it's good, therefore. But he also went further to bless his creation. And blessed saying, be fruitful and multiply. And so one of the things that came home to me is that it's not good enough for me to see things as being okay, but to realize that there's a blessing that God would want me to release and will cause whatever there is to fulfill its purpose and its destiny. And we say being fruitful and multiply is not a repetition of the same thing. That fruitfulness is talking about fulfilling purpose and potential. You may plant a tree and it brings forth fruit. You want to, you know, the tree is fulfilling its potential when the fruit comes forth. And so when God says be fruitful and multiply, he's first saying fulfill your purpose and your potential. And then multiply. Because multiplication by itself is not enough. Because if you're multiplying bad things, that's not a blessing. You know, if you have cancerous cells multiplying in your body, that's not a blessing. And what happened when God blessed humans? They multiplied, but they weren't being fruitful. They were evil, and there came a time when God says, I'm sorry, I actually made them, because they were so evil. The intent of their heart was evil continually. And so God sent the flood, and then again, he repeated his blessing upon Noah and his family. And so it's key for us to realize then, when we're talking about the blessing, it's first talking about being fruitful in the eyes of God, and then causing that fruitfulness to be multiplied to impact situations and people around us. This week, we want to talk a little bit about the mysteries of a blessing. So turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to read verse 19. I'm going to read several verses today, but this first verse is tremendous. It says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. So it seems this is almost like a court setting, and God calls the heaven and he calls the earth to be witnesses. And I'm putting before you, I'm giving you a choice. He gave Israel a choice, and I think he gives us a choice. Here's a choice. You can receive life or death. You can get blessing or curse. Choose. And Joyce, you know my approach to this thing. You know, it's like we're so dumb. whether life or death, which one should I choose? I don't know, what should I do? So God says, let me help you out. Yeah, choose life. If you don't believe me, it's happening all across our society today. We have the choice, choose life or death. Choose to live drug-free or to live with drugs. And people choose drugs and we have an epidemic in our society. And people are dying. So it's right here in front of us. God give us a choice. What do you want? Choose life or death. And God says, let me help you. Choose life so that you may live, and not only you, but your children might experience a certain quality of life. It's a choice. Do you want to live a life where the blessings of God follow you and overtake you? Or do you not? It's totally up to you. God is not going to force us. God is saying, I'm giving you the option. That city there in Guatemala, they had the option. And before they were controlled by witchcraft and sinfulness and all sort of stuff. And the things that followed that, death and the curses, followed them. And when they turned to the Lord, and when they sought the Lord, and when they gave their lives to the Lord and they worshiped the Lord, the blessings start to flow. And it impacted every area of their lives. In Genesis, the Lord says of Abraham when he was a little bit older that the Lord said he had blessed him in every way. In other words, the blessings of God should impact every sphere of our lives. Impact our personal lives, impact our families, impact our work, impact our health, impact our emotions, impact our relationship. Every area of our lives, God has released blessings and he wants those blessings to flow. And you and I, we have the option, we have the choice to either cooperate with God, to either follow after the Lord, and to allow the blessings of God to flow in every sphere of our lives. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2 says, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your breeding trough will be blessed. In other words, the blessing of God is not just for me as I'm contained here, but everything that pertains to my life he wants to bless. And that's why I like that clip, because it showed me a dimension of God's blessing that I hadn't really thought about before. I mean, when you see the size of those carrots, you realize, my goodness, I've really been limiting God. Every era, you're even inanimate things, because when God blessed his creation initially, humans weren't even yet on the scene. And then afterwards, he blessed humans. The devil said to the Lord, when the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? The devil says, you put a hedge of protection around him and you bless the work of his hands. My hands are tied, that's what the devil was saying. But everything that Abraham put himself to, God blessed. I've come to believe that the blessings of God follow the individual. That's why it says you're blessed in the country. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed when you're coming. You're blessed when you're going. Wherever you go, you're just blessed. And people look on. The world look on. The unbeliever looks on and they say, man, he's so lucky. And I say, no, I'm not lucky. I'm just blessed. I'm a child of the King. And wherever I go, the blessings of God follow me. Amen. Wherever I go, the blessings of God are there. Because I'm blessed with the Lord. And last week I shared about Isaac. That when Isaac came upon the well that his father Abraham had built, and the Philistines had already blocked it up, and he redug that well. And they got water in the midst of drought and famine. And the people says, no, that's ours. And so Isaac left and dig another well. And the people said, no, that's ours also. And so he dug a third well. And then finally they gave him a break. And they concluded, you know what, this man is the blessed of God. He planted crops in famine and got 100-fold. You, me, we are the blessed of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the blessed of God. I like the scripture I'm about to read in 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel 6 from verse 9. You know, David, one of the things about David is that he loved the presence of the Lord. And so when he became king, the very first thing he tried to do was to bring back the Ark of God's covenant. The Ark of the covenant had been lost right around the time of Eli. And during the reign of Saul, Saul didn't care much about the presence of God. So Saul didn't bother to try and find the Ark. But as soon as David became king, he's like, no, we've got to bring back God's presence. No longer do we want to be Ichabod that the glory has departed. We want to bring back the presence of the Lord. And David tried to do that initially. And they put the Ark of the Covenant upon some new cart. And as they were traveling along, the cart probably dropped in a pothole or something. But it seemed as if the Ark was about to fall off. And Uzzah tried to stable it. And God struck Uzzah dead. Which is to remind us that, you know, you should treat God with respect and holiness. And that really the presence of God is supposed to be carried by humans. They're supposed to carry the Ark upon poles upon their shoulders. And so David was afraid. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 6, it says in verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. He's not even a Jew, the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. 3 months. The Ark of God's presence is in Obed-Edom's house. And there must be something that Obed-Edom understood, that he's going to treat God's presence with respect. You're going to honor the Lord. You perhaps worship the Lord. And magnify the name of the Lord. And because of the presence of God in this man's house, he was blessed. And everything he had was blessed. It was so obvious that they could say to David, David, in 3 months, everything in this man's house has changed. Because of the presence of Almighty God. And what I'm saying to us, friends, is that you have some normal things that God has put in place, just like a normal size carrots and stuff. But then there's the time when the blessing of God comes and it goes into a different dimension. It becomes observable. People can see it and discern that, man, that guy's really blessed. And it doesn't have to be years upon years. It can be over a short period of time, as with Obed-Edom. His household became blessed. I can imagine his crops and everything to start to increase. And they're like, what on earth has happened? The only change is the very presence of God. And I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to me, to myself, if I would only learn to worship the Lord and to cultivate his presence, then the blessings of God will become more obvious in my life. How many know that people can't stop God's blessing from coming to you and to me? You know, sometimes we give people too much credit. Joseph said in Genesis, you know, his brothers didn't like him because he boasted too much and all manner of stuff. And so they thought, you know, we're going to get rid of this guy. And they put him in a pit and eventually sold him into slavery. And that was supposed to end all of his claims and all of his ideals and all of his dreams. But if you read Genesis, it tells me that he was bought by an Egyptian, by Potiphar. He went into Potiphar's house. And the Bible tells me that everything Joseph put his hand to was blessed in Potiphar's house. You thought that, Joseph, from where you're coming, you shouldn't be blessed anymore. But instead, God continued to bless Joseph and to bless Potiphar because of Joseph. So much so, it was so discernible that Potiphar said, you know what, I'm going to put you in charge. It doesn't really matter what people want to do. When you're blessed of God, God will still bless you. Amen. I like the story of Jacob. And last week we shared that there are certain things that happen when the blessing of God is released. And one of the things that happened for Jacob was that he became sensitive to the spiritual realm. And we'll talk about that if time allows. But Jacob went down to live with his brother, with his uncle Laban. And Laban took advantage of Jacob. And had Jacob work hard for 14 years before he could get the woman he really loved. And he was there for about 20 years. Genesis 31 verse 6. He says, "You know that I have worked for your father with all my strength. Yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. I mean, that must hurt. That's his own family. That's his uncle. And every time Jacob started getting a little blessing, Laban changed the arrangements. But God still blessed him. God still intervened. And so Jacob is still blessed despite the fact of Laban trying to cheat him. So I'm going to skip down to Genesis. Well, not skip down. Go back to Genesis 30. Jacob decides it's time to go home. Genesis 30 verse 27. But Laban said to him, "If I found favor in your eyes, please stay. I've learned by divination that God has blessed me because of you." What a testimony. What a compliment from a man who really is a cheat. And Laban is like, "Jacob, please don't leave. I'm blessed like this because of you, Jacob." Friends, I'm telling you, God wants to bless us and cause us to be a blessing to other people. And you go to a job, and because you are there, that job starts to become more and more profitable. That people can discern that there's something about this individual. They work hard, but it's more than just hard work. That there's a blessing that comes because you and I are child of the King, children of the King. You see, we have to stop this mentality where all we can see the negative things. And we curse ourselves and we see all sort of negative things about ourselves. We have to realize, because I'm a child of the King, God wants to bless me and God wants to bless other people because of me.
That's right.
And so, Laban realized after a while, "My goodness, since this young man has come, wherever I put him to work, it just increases." Genesis 30, verse 28, he says, he added, "Name your wages and I'll pay them." Jacob said to him, "You know I've worked for you. You know how I've worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little," I like that word there, "the little you had before I came has increased greatly." Not just increased, but greatly. "And God has blessed you wherever I've been." Friends, people can't stop the blessings of God. I don't have time today. We'll perhaps share about that next one of the times in the future, about what can hinder the blessings of God. But we need to realize that God wants to bless us and he wants to bless people around us. And as he does that, he wants people to realize that it is he who is doing the blessing. It's because of the God whom I serve why things are so different. And it gives you and me an opportunity to share about the goodness of God and the grace of Almighty God. People will react to us when God's blessing becomes obvious. For Jacob, you can see how Laban reacted. He tried to exploit him. Laban's sons, they became jealous. It is said of Jacob, because God blessed him so much that the nations around, they feared him. But the blessings of God also extends not just to ourselves, it says in Deuteronomy, but to our children. In Proverbs 20 verse 7, it says that the children of the righteous are blessed. It extends sometimes through several generations. I think I'm blessed because I had a great-grandfather who served the Lord. And when I look in the family Bible, it says that when he died, the entire area mourned the death of this man of God. And I said, oh goodness, I'm going to claim that and I'm going to walk in that. That's my well. That's my Abraham's well. I'm going to dig that well and cause the blessings of God to flow again in my life. Some of you might be ashamed to tell people that you're blessed of God. I'm not ashamed. It's all because of him. Whoa. What should I do? Let's just run through some things quickly. There are several blessings in the scripture. I want to mention three here. But Rebecca was blessed by her brother Laban. When Abraham sent his servant to try and find a wife for Isaac, he went back and he found Rebecca. And before she left, her brother Laban, same Laban, blessed her. And says, may your descendants be thousands upon thousands, and may your descendants control the gates of their enemies. And so you can see it's a blessing that went through the generations. And you can see, of course, David and all the others came from her line. And to control the gates of the enemies means that the enemies are submitted to you, because the gates is the place of authority where the elders would sit. And so Laban is blessing her and saying, may your children rise up to places of authority, and may their enemies have to be the ones who submit to them. You need to start to pray some blessings over your children. Amen. Amen. They might be excelling, they might be doing all right even in school, but still bless them. You want them to be what? The head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. They always have to lend and have no need to borrow. The blessings of Jacob. When Jacob's father blessed him, that very night the heavens were open to him. And he saw angels descending and ascending. Something happened when the blessing was released. Because the blessing releases the heavens too. The spiritual dimension too. It's not just a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. That's why the brothers were fighting so much over the blessing. That's why Esau would cry, Lord, Father, don't you have another blessing for me? There's a difference between the blessing, friends, and the birthright. The birthright is a natural thing. The eldest son is entitled to twice whatever the others get. It's limited to whatever your daddy has. That's why Esau didn't mind selling his birthright, because he had his eyes upon the blessing, which goes beyond just the birthright. And so when Jacob got the blessing, Esau was distressed, because that's what I really wanted. And I remember years ago, Sean asked me, why couldn't Isaac just release another blessing upon Esau? Well, it's simple. If you think about it in the natural, you know, if I say to my son, son, this car is yours. Once he has received that key, I don't have any more keys to give. And say, you know that Jacob, once that blessing is released, Jacob's like, I received that, that's mine, and I'm walking in it. There's no more blessing for you to get. I've already received it. This is, some of us don't understand. We just, well, let's go through life. Well, if this doesn't work. No, I want the blessings of God upon my life, and I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to take it. Right. Amen. Oh, Lord, how much time do we have here? Oh, the blessings of God release angelic activity into the life of Jacob. Before that, no mention of any angels. But once he got blessed, the heavens are open and angels are involved. Not just right there at Bethel, but other times in his journey, he's seen angels and they're appearing to him in dreams. He's not functioning by the Spirit. I don't want my children just to function in the natural. I want them to function by the Spirit of God, to be able to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to hear the voice of God, and to follow in the ways of God. And the blessings of God will open up the spiritual dimension for your children. Jacob got blessed. When he left home, Jacob had nothing. Perhaps a little backpack. Nothing. He's running away from his brother. All he can do is grab some clothes and get out of here. And he goes to Laban, and Laban gets blessed. And when he's coming back 20 years later, 20 years, he has a whole heap of flock and all sort of stuff coming back with him. Because his father blessed him and released the potential in his son. Oh, when Jacob so valued the blessing that when he struggled with that angel, he said to the angel, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said, Jacob understood something about the power of a blessing. And when that angel blessed Jacob, the angel said to him, what's your name? He said, Jacob, that's not a good name. That means supplanter. I'm going to change your name. From henceforth, your name is Israel. One who has struggled with God and thrived with God. And that encounter with the angel, that blessing changed the very nature of Jacob and his destiny. Isn't that awesome? Oh, Lord. That blessing brought reconciliation between him and his brother. He was afraid of Esau. And when they met together, they're hugging each other. And Esau's like, I don't even need those flocks that they're trying to give me. And then Jacob later on had a blessing from God. And God says, from your descendants shall come forth kings. And we know that King David came as one of the descendants from Jacob. So David becomes king and he doesn't understand. Listen, it's a blessing from way back when that is now being fulfilled in your life, son. That's part of the reason why the Bible says to honor your father and mother. It releases the avenue for the blessings to flow. That's one of the first commandments with a blessing. Okay, let's jump to Jabez. Two verses in the middle of Chronicles. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. My goodness. I can only imagine, because when my wife had our two children, she had an epidural with the first one. And then she had a general with the next one. So, you know, her pain was minimized. But I can only imagine back then when you didn't have all of these things, this medication, how painful it was. And hers was extra painful. That after she had the birth of the boy, she says, you know what? You caused me so much pain. Your name is Jabez. And I'm here thinking, it says his mother named him Jabez. And I'm here thinking, where's his father? When did he say to her, I can't name my son Pain? Everywhere the boy goes, hey Pain, you cause your mother pain when you're born. Can you imagine when he goes to school or he's being ridiculed? Pain, Painy, Painy. And he had to live with this. Parents, please, give your kids names that the kids will like. But he had to live with the ministers, you can imagine how it affects him as a person, how it affects his spirit. And so there came a while where David is like, I can't live like this. I need something. And so it says in verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. This wasn't just a casual prayer, Lord, you know, can you do something? No, he cried out. He was so desperate. He's like, I'm tired of this. It's affecting me emotionally. I have this history, this baggage. Lord, I need for you to bless me. I need for change. And so Jabez cried out to the Lord. And he says, oh, that you would bless me. No, the NIV doesn't do justice to what's there in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it really says, bless me with blessing. The word for bless is repeated as a way of emphasizing it. Some of the other translations says, bless me indeed. In other words, Jabez says, Lord, won't you bless me and bless me real good so people can see that I'm blessed. So no longer will they call me pain, they'll call me blessed. Jabez didn't say, well, this is my fate in life. No, he recognized the power of a blessing and he cried out to God and said, God, won't you bless me? And bless me real good. And he didn't leave it as some vague thing. He says, first of all, I want you to enlarge my territory. In those days, the more property you had, the more authority you had in the community. And so, Jabez is saying, Lord, give me more influence in my community. Put me in places of authority where people look to me and not only respect me, but give me room to impact their lives. The same ones who caught me pain in school, put me in authority over them so they can see the goodness of God in my life. Friends, can I tell you something? Your past doesn't have to determine your future. Right. You might have been hurt and mistreated as a child, but I believe that there's a God who will bless you and turn around your destiny. Amen. That's what happened with Jabez. You could have sat there and said, man, they call me pain all my life. My life is doomed. Mother, why did you call me this? I blame my life upon you. Everything that happened to me is because of my mother. I need to go see a counselor. Oh, he can say, you know what? That's the past. There's a God who will sever me from the past and lead me to my destiny in the Lord. And Jabez got a glimpse of this. He says, Lord, enlarge my territory. Give me more places of influence. Put me in places of authority. Turn my life around. Then he says, let your hand be with me. That term, hand be with me, if you read it in the New Testament, really needs to have God's presence, God's anointing, God's favor. Lord, let your hand be upon my life. And wherever I go, opportunities present themselves, doors open. Don't just accept what comes your way and say, well, this is my fate in life, what can I do? No, ask God, Lord, put your hand upon my life. May your grace be evident. Let it be so that people can see it. And then he says, keep me from harm. Watch over me. Protect me. Go before me. Deliver me from my enemies. It is said in Deuteronomy, part of the blessing is that when the enemy comes in one way, they flee seven ways. So Lord, when they plan their plot and as they come, let them fall into the very pit that they dug for me. Watch over my life. Watch my back. Those who want to stab me in my back. Lord, you just deal with them. And then he says, keep me from harm. And then he says, so that I'll be free from pain. Lord, my life is full of enough pain. I don't want any more pain. Lord, heal me and restore me within. Touch me deep within, Lord. All the pains from the past. Lord, I'm asking you to heal and to restore and to set me free. Lord, and those who'd want to entrap me, Lord, just deliver me, O God, and cause my heart to be pure and tender towards you, Lord. Don't allow my heart to become hardened because of pain. So keep me, Lord, from pain. Two simple verses, and it ends by saying, and God granted it to him. In other words, if he didn't pray those things, he wouldn't get it. But because he cried out and said, Lord, bless me real good. God didn't say, why don't you just be satisfied with your lot in life? No, God is like, that's a child that I can bless. That's a man that I can bless. That's somebody who wants more. And he's crying out to me to intervene and bring about a change. I'm saying to myself and I'm saying to you, don't just be contented where you're at. Ask God to increase your territory, to increase your place of influence, to show favor in your life for the sake of the kingdom of God, to open doors, to protect you from harm, to keep you free from pain. If Sean would come on back. This morning, friends, as we close, let us stand. We're talking about the mysteries of a blessing. The blessing has the power to heal us of the past and to release us into our destiny. It has a power that even when you're cheated like Jacob, to still cause you to be blessed. And you don't end up with all sorts of emotional issues because somebody cheated you 10 times. It's like, you can cheat all you want to cheat, I'm still going to be blessed. The choice is put before you and before me. Deuteronomy. I put before you life and death, blessing or curse. Choose. I'm choosing to be blessed. I'm choosing to believe the word of God. I'm choosing to follow the Lord because I know as I do that the blessings of God will come and will flow and the world will see. And we be questioning, why is it so? And I can tell them it's because of the goodness of the God whom I serve. So this morning, if you're in this house, and maybe you have walked away from the Lord and you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to recommit myself to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. And then I want to pray for those. You know, some things have happened in your life. Some things from your past. And you have perhaps worked through some of the things and you might have even forgiven the people. But there's still a step further. You see, Jabez didn't just say, Lord, heal me of my pain. But he was talking about going forward, influence, releasing a blessing. And so I believe that sometimes we stop short because, you know, the church, we tell them to forgive and the people work through issues and they forgive. But we don't release the blessing to launch them forward. And so this morning, if you're in this house and you're saying, Joe Campbell, I would like a blessing to be released into my life. I've had some issues in the past. And I've dealt with those issues, but I want to be launched forward into my destiny. I'm going to ask you to come forward so we can pray and release a blessing into your life. Anybody else want to release a blessing this morning? To sever not just the past, but to launch you into your destiny. That people would say, like they said of Jacob, you know, because of you we're blessed. That they would say, even concerning Isaac, you know what? You're the blessed of God. We have seen it. Like the people in Guatemala, it will become so obvious that when you hold up the stuff, the world will say, yeah, that's different. And the people can say, since we started serving the Lord, since that blessing has been released in my life. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord as I release this blessing. Father, I thank you for those who have come forward this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are a God of blessing. Lord, I thank you that your default response is to bless, and it's to bless your people. Father, I thank you, God, you said in your word, you have given us a choice, and we can choose life or death, blessing or curse. Lord, we thank you for the examples we have seen in Scripture of people whose lives have been transformed because the blessing of God was released into their life. And so, Lord, this morning, for those who have come forward, Lord, Father, we put the past behind them. Lord, if they are not fully healed, I pray to your Spirit, oh God, might bring the healing, might bring the restoration. Lord, many were mistreated and abused. And Lord God, we don't take that lightly. And Lord, we ask you, God, to bring about that healing and that deliverance, oh God, for those who are still yet suffering. But Lord God, beyond that, Lord, I'm releasing a blessing, oh God, to launch them into their destiny. And so, Lord God, I declare, oh God, that these folks who have come forward, that their past shall no longer hinder them, but they shall see the goodness of God in their lives, that opportunities shall be open to them, that, Lord, you'd enlarge their territory, that, Father, you might show them favor, that, Father God, you might bless them real good, that, Lord, you might bless them so much so that their peers would look on and say, oh, you're so lucky, and they would understand it's the goodness of God. Enlarge their territory, oh God. Put them in places of influence, oh God. Cause their enemies, oh God, to have to submit to them. Father, I pray you'd keep them from harm. Protect them, oh God, from the plans of the enemy. Protect them from the plans of people, oh God, to come against them. Protect them from harm. Set them free from pain, mighty God. Father, I pray, oh God, you might use them for your glory. That whatever they put their hands to will be blessed. That you bless them in every sphere of their lives. Bless their relationships. Bless their children. Bless their parents. Bless their families. Bless their jobs, oh God. Bless their friendships. Father, I pray you might bless their homes. May there be peace in their homes. May their children, oh God, come to know you. May they become more sensitive to the spiritual dimension. May they hear your voice more clearly. May your power and anointing come upon their lives in a fresh and new dimension in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you, God, you are God who blesses. And so, Lord, we declare these your children blessed of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for your blessings, mighty God. Thank you, God, for changing their destinies in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, God, for raising them up, oh God, as mighty men and women of Almighty God. Thank you, mighty God, for releasing your power and your presence into their lives in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And Lord, I declare, oh God, not only will there only be goodness and mercy, but Father God, there will be great anointing and power being released from your servants in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus, we declare that they are blessed, and they are blessed indeed. Lord, we're not asking for small blessings. We're asking for great blessings. Lord, we're not being timid. Lord, we're not being meek. And Lord, we are asking for great blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.